When Gabby Petito disappeared in August, she was a little-known travel blogger with just one video on her YouTube channel. But seemingly overnight, her story became a media obsession.
So for those of you that don't know, Gabby Petito is a 22-year-old girl from New York who went missing.
And the most suspicious part is that Brian, her fiancé, he didn't contact authorities. He didn't tell police.
Breaking news in the Gabby Petito case. The FBI just found human remains in a national forest in Wyoming. Where are you, Brian? And while they say they aren't 100% sure, they say the remains are consistent.
Petito's case rose to national attention, in large part due to a flood of videos and posts from true crime aficionados on social media. These amateur sleuths relentlessly followed each new development in the mystery, covering everything from Gabby's initial disappearance to the tragic discovery of her remains. While there's still a lot we don't know about what happened to Gabby, the notoriety of this case is anything but a mystery. Like most that receive national attention, Gabby was young and beautiful and white. Tens of thousands of black girls and women go missing every year. Native women are murdered at rates 10 times the national average. And yet crime as a genre remains steadfastly focused on the stories of missing and murdered white women. And to explore this, we have Lindsay Webb, an associate professor at the University of Denver's Sturm College of Law. Professor Webb, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yes, you've written about this quite a bit. Why are we drawn to stories of missing and murdered young white women? What is it about this particular thing that grabs our attention?
Well, I think my short answer is the long history of racism in the United States. But let me break that down a little bit more. Gwen Ifill coined the phrase missing white woman syndrome. I think we also can think of it as murdered white women syndrome. And she was referencing the disproportionate attention that, you know, the media and our society at large gives to stories about white women who are the victims of violent crime. And I want to talk about this phenomenon with you and first say it's not new at all. In fact, centering white women in narratives about crime that are told by white-controlled media and white people with public platforms is a phenomenon that is literally hundreds of years old. It predates the founding of the United States.
Yeah, well, over the last 60 years, I mean, these types of stories take up a lot of space on television, on all the networks, all of the cable stations. Now, though, we have social media, so we're seeing, for instance, the case of Gabby Petito everywhere, all over our social media feeds. Is there something different about today's true crime media that gets people so invested?
Well, again, I'll say it's part of a long tradition, right? I'd say a white narrative tradition in the United States and even before the founding of the United States to talk about crime by talking about the victimization of white women. And we could start by looking at like captivity narratives, which were stories in the 1600s to the 1800s, even beyond, that were written by white men primarily about the experiences of white women who were kidnapped and taken away by Native American people. And they were these horrifying tales of disruption. And we can continue to think about the ways in which stories about white women being victimized by or purportedly victimized by African American men after slavery. What's new now, as you point out, is the proliferation of the ways in which we can consume this media, right? So we can listen to podcasts, we can read books, we can watch television shows. There are entire channels that are focused only on true crime. The Weather Channel has a true crime, show. Like, it's truly
really
everywhere. Yeah, storm of suspicion. And so talking about how weather phenomena impact, like, case investigations and so forth. So I want to make sure that we talk about this phenomenon as white women being the focus of these conversations with white-controlled media and white people with platforms as not a new one. I mean, truly hundreds of years old, but one that's explosive, right, because there's so many more ways we can be consuming these stories than we could in the past.
Well, Lindsay, there are going to be people who are true crime fans listening to this conversation thinking, I mean, what are you talking about? I consume true crime because it's fascinating, not because the genre focuses on white women. You're reading too much into this harmless hobby. Your thoughts on this?
I hear that. Listen, the reason true crime is so compelling is because, you know, as human beings, we communicate with each other through storytelling, right? And when we have a compelling story, when there's a disruption, something horrible has happened, right? And then there's a mystery. What happened? Who did this? And then there's a resolution. We think, finally there's been some justice. That is compelling. It draws us in. We want to hear more about that. My project here is not to shame people for being drawn to storytelling like this, but to say, let's make sure we're sitting down and thinking carefully about what we're consuming and how that's shaping our perception of our society around us and who we're being asked to have empathy for. And just to circle back to one other concern I think we should have is when we look at that cycle, that the way the stories are told, the disruption, and then the mystery, and then the resolution, and these stories ask us to look for justice, right? We want to have justice for Gabby Petito. We want to have justice for women who are harmed. I understand that. I want justice too. That we're asked to look for it in the systems that we already have, systems of policing, systems of punishment, our court system. And those systems themselves are deeply steeped in racial inequity, right? Some might even say weaponized against people of color. And if we're asked to look back and back and back to those systems as being the source of justice and what justice should look like, I think the racial implications there that we need to grapple with, right? Even if we think it's a harmless hobby. And I understand that. Everyone gets some downtime, but that doesn't mean that popular culture and what we consume doesn't have actual implications in our society at large and in our own personal lives.
I want to bring something else up with you, though. People are also arguing that listening to true crime is a feminist move. We actually spoke with mm-hmm. Kelly Bowling, an assistant professor at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. She researched true crime and focuses on how domestic violence survivors feel about the genre. Let's listen.
The participants in my research have described it as healing. They said it is very comforting to hear somebody else with the same lived experience as you. Mostly because they felt that they live in a world where their experience is silenced.
I hear exactly what you're saying, Lindsay, about mm-hmm. how this moment gives us the opportunity to look at the racial lens and the history of how we've covered victims and who we decide are victims. But is it possible that true crime can actually be good for society to prompt social change by bringing issues like domestic violence from the shadows into the light?
Absolutely. That is something that many people say. In listening to that quote and hearing that people are finding comfort, even empowerment through listening to these stories, I believe that's true, right? That people are feeling like that. And I'm not trying to take that away from folks at all in my argument. I say this, I just want to make a point also, which is, I am obviously deeply critical of the fact that we have this longstanding narrative tradition centering white women in stories about violent crime and the way that's really been used with lots of racial implications throughout our history. I don't think that's inconsistent at all with my ability to feel deep grief at the loss of Gabby Petito, right? Recognize mm-hmm. how tragic and awful mm-hmm. the murder of this young woman is. And I want to be really clear about that because I think we can have like deep understanding and respect for the humanity of the women who are the focus of these narratives and simultaneously critique the narratives as a whole.
That was Lindsay Webb, an associate professor at the University of Denver Sturm College of Law. Lindsay, thank you so much for your research and thank you for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.